Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you are on hold, I promise we will get to you in about 10 minutes. 410-583-1057 is how you join us if you want to weigh in on the Ravens' latest loss to fall to 1-3 for just the third time in franchise history. It happened in 2005 and in 2015, and the Ravens did not make the playoffs in either of those seasons. But it's six-pack time, and we're focusing on the defense to start. Our six observations from yesterday's game regarding the defense.
Number six.
I put this at six because it kind of is what it is at this point. The D-line depth is non-existent, and they were obviously extremely compromised yesterday with Nnamdi Matabike, Broderick Washington, and Travis Jones all rolled out. Josh Tupou got activated, played 30 snaps. CJ Okoye got activated off the practice squad, played 24 snaps. The Chiefs haven't been able to run the football on anybody this season, and not that they ran it exceptionally well by any means, but they racked up 118 yards on the ground, and you can kind of even include the edge, which we'll get into maybe during TMI, but the D-line is just, there's nothing there.
Well, we're kind of simpatico here. I mean, my six is, you're lucky that Andy Reid just wanted to focus on getting Mahomes passing touchdowns. He could have run it up the gut on them whenever he wanted to. I mean, Pacheco's in there. There's holes galore. Mahomes is flinging the ball around. Pacheco got 5 or 6 tough yards anytime he wanted it. They barely went under center. When they did, it was a problem. So, could they have run for 200, a team that can't run on anybody? They absolutely could have if that's the way Andy Reid wanted to approach it. So I wouldn't get caught up in saying, at least it's 100 yards less than Detroit. If Andy wanted to run it 30 times under center for 200 yards, I'm telling you, he could do it, and the Houston Texans might do it.
Number five.
I'm putting this with defense because a lot of guys on this unit are defensive. I know it was sort of glorified garbage time, but when you cut it to 2 scores, 27-13, you can't. And your defense sucks. They can't start the next drive from midfield. Like the special team still isn't good enough, and no one's really talking about it because the rookie kicker looks good, and they're pretty good at identifying specialists. And the punter's been better, but there's still a lot of room for improvement with their coverage and return units. And guess what? Now that you might not have an offense or a defense, you cannot be conceding field position like that.
We haven't really talked about it much, but you mentioned that field goal to cut it to 27-13. Why are you kicking there?
It's a coward move.
It's less than 7.5 minutes.
But if you're going to do that,
you haven't stopped
the next drive can't start from plus territory.
Yeah. Oh, my five. Sorry. Lack of turnovers, alarming. And they're not even getting close to getting turnovers. And you take the Browns game out of it where Joe Flacco, you knew he was going to give you opportunities. He had a fumble. He threw a pick. Patrick Mahomes threw the ball 37 times yesterday. The Ravens had 2 passes defensed. They're not even close. You lose.
But all they do is sign corners and safeties. And all they draft is corners and safeties up high.
You lose the turnover battle again, 2-0. And good luck winning in Kansas City at that point. And the defense last year, which was not good at forcing turnovers at all, forced 4 turnovers through the first 4 weeks, where this year's Ravens defense has forced 2. It's gotten worse. And the intentionality and all the stuff that they're putting in about forcing, we haven't seen it yet. Not against a team that's worth anything.
Number four.
I found this troubling, and there were multiple plays for the first time this season, I feel like, where the lack of communication, the miscommunication, guys not knowing what the heck is going on. And the one play in particular was first and goal with 1:41 remaining in the first half. And Romo kept pointing out that Nate Wiggins, like, he doesn't know what the coverage is. The defense looks completely confused. And Isaiah Pacheco's wide open in the flats and just walks in for a touchdown there to take a 20-7 lead. Miscommunication was a huge, huge, huge issue for this defense through the first 10 weeks of last year. This defense has just been bad, where we haven't seen a lot of that. If we're starting to see miscommunication, jeez.
Well, my four kind of picks up on that. If you thought the middle of the field was open for business before, forget about it now. The linebackers' abject failure to cover any of these three running, it didn't matter if it was Pacheco, Hunt, or the rookie. How many times a linebacker was literally not even looking in the direction of the pass being thrown? Like, it was shameful. And it included Roquan before whatever happened to Roquan happened to Roquan. But, like, Worthy on the shallow crossers, I told you that's going to be there all day. Kelce, pitch and catch. And now the running backs, too. It's a complete disaster. And again, there are teams playing first and second year linebackers across this league who were getting production out of them. This looked like guys had no idea that, like, they'd never played football before.
Lean Tim early. I think when you all offseason preach turnovers, even bad defenses find ways to get turnovers occasionally and change games sometimes. This defense refuses to. Turnovers for me is one of the most important things with this defense, and they just continue to, after talking, being loud that they were going to do it all offseason. That was the thing, their point of emphasis. And we saw Lamar throw some interceptions in training camp. We heard about that. Mm-hmm. I don't see it with the secondary now.
No, Jair is coming back, so don't worry. That's going to change everything.
We're doing a
big offseason signing.
We're doing a six-pack of our six defensive observations, and let's continue.
Number three.
Their rookies look like rookies, and I don't say that in a positive way. Yeah. They thought they could get cute and do it on the cheap and do it on the sly and get value on a pass rusher in the second round. And, you know, Malachi Starks, I'm sure, will be a really good player, but you're trying to win a Super Bowl right bleeping now. And your spine has been compromised in recent years because your $20 million linebacker stinks. And now you're without your D tackles, and it's putting way more pressure on this kid. But guess what? That's the team you built. That's the way the cookie crumbles. And I'm seeing rookie pass rushers make an impact, but not the one here who looks completely lost. Like, it was going to be developmental, and if you could have kept him on a pitch count, that would have been great. You should have signed Clowney. You did it on the cheap, and now you're paying for it. They're being picked on. Like, it's a major problem, and I think it's part of the reason why Kyle Hamilton doesn't look like a playmaker anymore. But, like, playing these kids as many reps as you're playing them, you're going to continue to struggle.
Yeah, mine is the pass rush is probably worse than we even thought it would be.
Not me.
And with or without the blitz, the Ravens have 45 blitz dropbacks this season. They have zero sacks. They haven't recorded a sack in a blitz yet. That is hard to comprehend. Patrick Mahomes against the blitz yesterday was 8 for 13, 91 yards, and a touchdown. You're not getting home. You can't win one-on-one battles. Tavius Robinson had the one sack, and that, of course, did not come on a blitz. Like,
good effort.
It's worse than I thought it would be.
Number two.
You brought it up a couple weeks ago, kind of tongue-in-cheek, about how this offense needs to, the Ravens offense, needs to run some more plays, keep this defense off the field. This defense can't get off the field, and they continue to get dominated in time of possession. The Chiefs had the ball nearly 10 minutes more than the Ravens. The Chiefs ran 70 plays. They went 9 of 19 on third and fourth downs. There were 4 for 4 on fourth downs alone. They didn't punt until 3:35 remaining in the game. They didn't punt. The Chiefs offense looked broken a couple weeks ago. They didn't punt until the game was almost over.
Yeah, my two is they get zero pass rush without the blitz, and they don't get enough with it. B, Blame DaCosta. Oway's not a pass rusher. He's never been a pass rusher. He will never be a pass rusher. Oway's got an 11% pressure rate. That's pathetic. But it's better than Tavius at 7%, and it's a hell of a lot better than Mike Green at 6.5. Okay? They're 29th in the NFL in pressure rate. They're 31st in sack percentage. Ajabo's played 25 snaps. If he was anything at all, he'd be playing. That's on them. That's a personnel failure. And thinking a 36-year-old was going to be able to do what he did in the past was asinine. They are who they were built to be. And the Matabike injury has just exacerbated that. And guess what? Don't look now, but they've got a minus 11 sack differential, which is worse than the NFL. That's sacks allowed versus sacks created. And I don't think that's getting better anytime soon. Harbaugh should get plenty of the blame, but the GM has been fraudulent building his team in the trenches, and he's paying for it.
Number one.
I mean, they never got to stop while the game was in doubt. I mean, they didn't punt till they were down five scores.
3:35 remaining in the game.
So when we're talking about that, and we're talking about communication issues, and we're talking about effort issues, and we're talking about personnel issues, and we're talking about play calling issues, I got news for you. They've managed to put lipstick on a pig these last 3 years and find ways through trade or pulling somebody out of mothballs to fix it. This is unfixable. It's unfixable. There's too much broken, and I think they know it. That's why you're starting to hear people whispering about how hurt was this guy or how hurt was that guy. I've never heard that about Ravens defense. As bad as they've been, you've never really had people watch these games saying, do dudes just not want to be associated with this? But, like, that's where we are, and it's still September.
My number one's the obvious, is these injuries are just going to further expose a defense that's not nearly as good as we thought. And Nnamdi Matabike, Broderick Washington, Travis Jones didn't play a snap in that game. Kyle Van Noy as well. You add Roquan Smith, Nate Wiggins, Marlon Humphrey, who might miss upcoming weeks. It's just going to further expose this defense. It's a mess right now. It's a total mess.
Yeah, I said it before. I like the turnovers being involved, and I mean, there was a lot of similarities in the top three.
Yeah, Ken is out sick today. We might have Ken back tomorrow.
Got a raspy voice.
But Bailey, Cool C, Ethan, Larry, I see you guys on hold. I promise we will get to you on the other side. If you want to join the show, now is your chance. 410-583-1057. Are the Ravens done? And the calendar's not even in October. They're 1-3. Only less than 14% of teams that start the season 1-3 make the playoffs. Are you buying a turnaround like they had last year? 410-583-1057. Also, if you want to weigh in on the Orioles, Mike Elias, do you think Tony Mancellino is going to have the interim taken away and he'll be the permanent manager? 410-583-1057. We'll take your calls.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next on the Fan.
First, I just want to apologize to the fans. Just the product that we're putting on the field right now is not up to par with what the Ravens have been in the past and have been in the recent past. And I think we know that. We're trying our best to correct it, but obviously something's wrong. So it's up to all of us to try to fix that.
That was Kyle Hamilton following the Ravens 37-20 loss to the Chiefs yesterday, walking back some comments last week saying that the Ravens fans are a little spoiled in how they've gone after Zach Orr and the defense, and of course Hamilton saying there, hey, we're just not any good right now. 410-583-1057. What is your confidence level that this defense can have a turnaround like they did last year? Let's start with Bailey in Baltimore. Bailey, you're on the Fan.
How you guys doing?
Hey.
So yeah, I'm gonna briefly talk about the Orioles and then transition to the Ravens. Sure. I'll keep it short as possible. Mm-hmm. But the Orioles, I think we're looking at a similar thing with the Ravens right now, whereas management is cutting corners with either hiring a new GM, mostly obviously alluding that with the Orioles, or anything that honestly would actually improve fan experience, which is putting a good team on the mm-hmm. field. The fact that there's going to be a club level seating in the Chiefs seats in center field is insulting.
Yeah.
I know that it will be accessible to the public when there's not private events, but let's be honest, that guy's going to try to pack that yep. area out with high money as much as he possibly can. So going from there to the Ravens, same thing. They're improving their stadium to yep. improve fan experience. How about you put a good team on the field? The fact that Zach Orr has a job right now as a defensive coordinator, not saying he wouldn't be good at something else maybe on the team, but the fact that he's mm-hmm. a defensive coordinator is laughable. It's proven throughout last year and this year. And like you were saying earlier, Steven, they have no depth. And I got into a conversation with this with another Ravens fan. They're like, well, they're playing good teams. I'm like, yeah, you should be beating them. Yeah. Or at least, you know, like, and it's just like, I don't see a way forward with this team. And like, I honestly, like with Lamar going down, I honestly just feel like it just feels like this is the end of the era with Lamar and Henry. Henry's not going to be able to carry this team. He's just not. He's in great shape. He's got a good diet, good work ethic, but he just can't do it all by himself. And the last thing I like to say, well, also Kyle Hamilton saying we're spoiled. How about you share your salary with us? Maybe we'll be spoiled that way, or maybe play
doesn't,
better.
Doesn't work that way.
Thanks for the call, Pam.
Does not work that way. No. I would be asking Bashotti to give you money back for your tickets before Kyle. Yeah, look, the season's not over. Not all hope is lost, but this is they have dug themselves a massive hole. And part of me is almost like, and look, I wouldn't have hired Zach Orr. I'm on record saying it at the time. But like with the hand they're being dealt right now, I'm a big Chuck Pagano guy. I don't think the calls exist. They don't have people who can win in the trenches. They're going to get exposed in the trenches on both sides of the ball. There was no Ronnie Stanley insurance. There was no real Nnamdi Madubuike insurance. And they're going to, you could have whoever call. You could bring McDonald back here. With this group, good luck.
410-583-1057. Cool C is in Timonium. What's up, Cool C?
Okay, well, this is the one I called, but I'm going to disagree with the previous caller because I called this defense out before the season started. I said it's overrated. We don't have the personnel that they're talking about. And I said it from day one, this team will be as good as the defense is, and it's the worst defense in the NFL. And I predicted that. So that's the one. But the offense is fine. I don't want to hear what the previous caller said. We have weapons on offense. We got the best quarterback in football. And if we could get any defensive stops, we're fine. Bone, I want to go back to what you said about third and one. It was ridiculous. Third and one on the 19, you're down 27-10. And Henry's not on the field, and we're yep. throwing the ball on third and one. It's two downs to get 1 yard. We had to have Henry out there both times. We needed a touchdown there. We kicked a field goal to make it 27-13. That was a joke of a offensive drive right there. I don't know what the play calling was, but how are you not having Henry on the field when all you need is third and one, and you need two downs to get it to get into the end zone there? We kicked the field goal. It was a joke. Lastly, and this is big, what were we doing after Hill's 73-yard touchdown? We're down 18 with 2 minutes to go and three timeouts. Harbaugh quit. They quit right there.
Yeah.
Even Romo and Nance said it. They said, well, they're just trying not to get people hurt. Why are we going for – and but I hate going for two.
Does that surprise you? After the cowardly punt in Buffalo, though. Like,
that's
like,
the one time to go for two. You're down 18. You go for two. It's a two-score game. 3 minutes to go and two minutes to go and three timeouts. You try an onside kick. Probably not going to get it. But if you do, you throw a couple bombs. Maybe you get an interference. Maybe you get something. We quit right there. Why are you kicking an extra point and making it 17 when you're down 18?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Cole. See, I think, to be honest, Jason, even though you're sort of waving the white flag kicking the field goal.
Look, I don't
when you were down 17.
Absolutely, and I don't think they thought Justice Hill was going to score that touchdown.
I
think they were already in triage mode. Like, let's not get anybody else hurt. But I'll just go back to why I harp so much on the Buffalo game. and how much of a bad sign it was there. I called it in real time, a cowardly punt. That set the tone for the season. This defense wasn't that great. I didn't think it was a great defense either. I kept saying, where are the pass rushers? What happens if somebody gets hurt? Like, that punt set the tone. So after watching that in Buffalo, when Josh Allen was going to hold the ball for 32 plays and run 300 yards on you in the fourth quarter, and you begged for more instead of try to win it there, this didn't surprise me at all.
Let's grab one more real quick. Ethan is in Hanover. Ethan, you're on the fan.
How you guys doing today?
Good.
Hey there.
Just get my Orioles call in. Mm-hmm. Super frustrated with hearing that interview. Obviously, Mike Elias is super educated, but just listening to him talk, all he gives is word salad and
throughput
over his words, and he's just not a good orator. You knew you were going to have an end of season presser today. Mm-hmm. You had months to think about what you're going to say.
Yep.
And it's just a bunch of word salad, and if they go on to hire Mancelino, like I think they will, mm-hmm, at this point, I just feel very out on them.
Boycott
them. Just a slap in the face. And hearing Mike Elias say, we hope to be in the mix in the AL East next year. It's just pathetic.
It's pathetic. Yeah.
Thanks, Ethan.
Yeah. Boycott him.
410-583.
Throughput.
Yeah, 410-583-1057. Larry, Sean, Ed, I see you guys on hold. If you want to join us, we're going to continue to take your phone calls. If you want to talk Orioles, do you think Mancelino is going to get the job? What did you think of what Mike Elias had to say in regards to the GM opening and him getting promoted to president of baseball operations? And Ravens-wise, can they dig out of this 1-3 hole? Is this defense fixable? 410-583-1057. We're going to continue to take your call.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next. Ravens are searching for answers after they begin the season 1-3 for just the first time since 2015. 10 years ago since they started this poorly, and that season ended with a 5-11 record. Can this Ravens team turn it around? 410-583-1057. Larry is in Baltimore. Larry, you're on the fan. Larry? No, Larry.
Oh, we lost Larry. We got Larry.
Oh, phones are off.
Uh-oh. Are we on air? I don't even see. Are we definitely on air?
Okay.
We are on air.
All right. I guess we can't take phones for right now. So let's get into this Ravens offense,
yeah,
though, and what has been so off about them. And I think a talking point, right or wrong, a lot of people are saying, Derrick Henry, and we were talking to Cool C about that. Where the heck was he on the third and short situations, the fourth and short situations? He only had 8 carries in that game for 42 yards. Obviously, the Ravens were trailing by multiple scores, which necessitated having Justice Hill in more and the 2-minute situations. But this rushing attack, I found this number earlier this morning, and it gets to what I was saying last week, where it lacks consistency. They average 6.2 yards per carry, which is better than last year. They have 19 gains of 10 or more yards and have turned 22% of their rush attempts into double-digit gains, which is all first in the NFL. But if you look at their success rate, mm-hmm, where they were first in the NFL last year, they're 28th in rushing success rate this year when they run the football. So it's feast or famine with this rushing attack.
Well, I think we documented the early down issues, and the right side of the offensive line is struggling. The backup fullback isn't nearly as good as the regular fullback. And Derrick Henry hasn't been as efficient, hasn't been as consistent. So something had to change. And the first drive, they featured the quick passing game. We did see more Justice Hill on early downs. And that was a great first drive. And I think their feeling was they need to get more plays. They need to keep the defense off the field. And rather than risk a 2-yard run and 2nd and 8, let's try a swing pass. Hell, Henry was targeted more than usual. So I think that's where it was coming from. Now, the short yardage is a whole different deal. And not going to Derrick Henry there. I mean, if you really don't trust your line that much with the 260-pound running back, then maybe the whole thing is lost. But I think you also, when Ronnie Stanley goes down, that's, and no Boom's the replacement, that's going to undermine your offense.
For sure. And we'll get back into the offense in a second. The phones are back. Larry is back. Larry, what's going on?
Yeah, I was saying Jason should have a job with somebody in charge. But I'll never trust Harbaugh again. He never tells the truth when somebody's hurt. Lamar looked like a quitter yesterday. The only two people I think was trying to play was Hill and the guy 38 who's a walk-on. I think his name is Martin.
Keon Martin, yeah.
Yeah, I know Tavis Robinson showed some effort. I mean, but there was definitely a part of me that felt like everybody was fine getting Lamar out of that football game. And it was mostly precautionary. That was just my take on it from my couch.
410-583-1057. Sean is in Pikesville. Sean, you're on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, guys? Happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
So, once again, it's 2025 and we're still talking about pass rush.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's just, we're still talking about, so that's where I feel like the GM has to take some of the blame. As far as yesterday's game go, it's kind of embarrassing when you're an NFL team and your defensive backs have no idea what are they doing. Everybody back there is clueless. And then you come back from the half and everybody's still clueless.
Yeah.
Like, that's the part that frustrated me. It's like, why didn't we fix this? Because we were still in that game coming back from the half. The injuries suck. I hope Nate Wiggins is okay because I think Nate Wiggins has been playing like
that
since the season started. Can we turn it around? Who knows? I mean, looking at this team, can you really say? I don't really know if this is either who we are or this is, or we can fix this. And one last thing, and then I'll go. I disagree with my fellow Ravens fans. When have we ever thought that Lamar would give up? Lamar doesn't give up. I think he had a nagging hamstring, maybe. And they looked at this game and say, hey, let's get him out of there.
Yes, precautionary.
We're not going anywhere. Yes. Let's get him out of here. Let's play it safe and let's make it to next week.
I'm with you, Sean. I know a lot of people were calling him. I don't think it was that.
Look,
I really don't.
Your right tackle has struggled. Now you've lost your left tackle. You're down multiple scores. Every time that Spags blitzes, three guys are getting home. I told you Leo Chanel was one of my X Factors. I told you that guy's going to have a game. I just think it was the prudent thing to do with any sort of tweak is to get him out of there. They've got a lot of problems.
And John Harbaugh didn't really go into depth about all of the, he did say that Nnamdi Matabike, his season is over. He would not comment on whether it's a career ending thing. He said that Nnamdi Matabike would address that. Broderick Washington, he's on the short term IR for 4 weeks, but Ian Rappaport, he tweeted earlier that Marlon Humphrey expected to miss multiple weeks due to a calf injury. He also tweeted this out recently saying Roquan Smith is diagnosed with a grade 2 hamstring strain. So he's expected to miss a few weeks. And with the bye looming, Ravens have 2 games, then the bye. I don't think you're seeing either of those guys till after the bye.
This Sunday's a must-win game.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Sean McVay's going to rip them to shreds. So they're not. If they beat the Rams, it's because they managed to score 38 points on that defense, which I don't think they're going to do as presently constructed. But, like, you better beat the Texans, because I don't think you're beating the Rams.
410-583-1057. Ed is in Towson. Ed, you're on the Fan.
Oh. Hey, what's up, fellas? How you feel?
What's going on?
I think J-Lock
we said a couple of days, last time we talked last week, that the big guy in the middle, if you're going to be that big, an offensive guard, you sure as hell have to be able to move. Well, on one occasion, I looked at the game, and there was a situation where it was a pass play. They delayed the blitz like they've been doing all day, and then they ran straight up the A-gap. The A-gap is the guard and yes. center right there. And Big Fella looked, and God bless him, Big Fella looked like he was lost in the sauce. He had no idea what was going on. So if you're Lamar, you know, and he's taking a lot of hits, that's what people, they talk about this offense, and yeah, they're great with Lamar. But every time Lamar runs the ball, he gets hit. So at some point in time, after 8 years, I think you needed to choreograph a situation where his running was a complement to an offensive situation, not the means to an end. So I mean, he's taken a lot of hits. But unless you shore up that guard spot right there, I don't know if you got to put the other cat in there or whatever, yeah. but you better take care of business right there. And as far as your boy Kevin Green, Mike Green's a good player. But come on now, like you said, J-Lock, you cannot – he needs to be on a pitch count. He needs yes. to be on a rotation. Sizzle yeah. was on a rotation when he was back there with the Dogs, and then Sizzle got to work to the top of the order. But Sizzle was on a rotation. If you don't rotate that guy, and I'm an offensive coach, I'm going to lick my chops because oh, yeah. he's a rookie that's not Lawrence Taylor. And I know Marshall, they got some good players, but come on now, J-Lock.
Yeah.
Come on now.
He's being overexposed, but it's not on him. Ajabo, they should have moved on from before and not even included him in the mix. They needed to draft more than one high or still add a Za'Darius, a Judon, a Clowney. Something, at least add that to the mix so you're not one injury away from Mike Green having to play 30, 40, 50 snaps.
Let's go back out to the phones. Mike is in Severna Park. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, guys? Happy Monday, man.
Happy Monday.
Sad day being a Maryland sports fan, but
yes.
I want to say kind of shame on the Orioles GM for whatever bad sales pitch that was on the future of the franchise. Mm-hmm. I feel like me having 19 years of IT experience, I could have got up with a little more direction and sold on possibly where we're heading.
Yeah,
not maybe being in the mix like you guys alluded to, but there's two things I wanted to touch on. One, I'm more like Ravens related, but my dad, first time I saw my dad, because did you see the Lions game? He goes, yeah, did you notice how much bigger the offensive line was versus our defensive line? And I think we only had two D linemen out at that time.
Right.
So that to me is a personnel issue. But just watching the defense as a whole, they seem to have unorganized chaos. I saw in the Kansas City game, two of the plays ended by the Kansas City players running out of bounds where there wasn't even a tackle attempted on the players.
Yeah.
And it comes down to me fundamentals, and I feel like either the coach or the scheme, but the players aren't buying what's been sold, and it's partly, like you guys have touched on, the way the team's constructed with no depth. You know, I mean, I just want to hear your thoughts.
It looks just like last year. I mean, it looks like last year. They can throw to the tight ends in the middle of the field all day long, running backs on simple wheel routes. It's like no one's ever known how to defend that. People taking the wrong leverage, people not in unison with their coverage. We've seen safeties get split a fair amount, again, because they're picking apart the middle of the field because they know Malachi Starks is just getting his feet wet. Nobody making plays on the ball in flight. And now you don't have D tackles who can stop the run. Like, it's bad.
What's really concerning, and it brings me back to when we were talking about the Steelers last hour, is that Steelers defense has gotten off to a pretty bad start this year. But they have something they can lean on. They're opportunistic, and they force turnovers. Where this Ravens defense...
They show up in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
They knock people out. They knock the ball out of your hands in the fourth quarter.
This Ravens defense, they have nothing that they're good at. It's not like, okay, they're good on third down, or, oh, they can get after the passer, or they first force turnovers, or they really bow up in the red zone. They're bad towards the bottom in all of that.
Yeah.
They don't have anything that they can lean on right now.
They're cooked.
We're going to take more of your calls in about an hour. But coming up next during TMI, we're going to get back into the offensive discussion. For the first time this season, really, the offense, they had some serious, serious issues. What is wrong with the O? We'll tell you next on The Fan.
Well, I mean, I think you just take it drive by drive. The second drive, we went down the field again, and we had a interception. You know, 54 made a great play. I mean, it's just a great football play he made. So that stopped that drive. Then the next drive, we came out, we had two good plays, but the, you know, we get two delay of games. You know, and so we're trying to crowd noise. We're trying to signal some things or change plays or whatever we were trying to do, and we took the delay of games, unfortunately, you know, and there really weren't circumstances where we wanted to take timeouts there because you know you're going to need those timeouts. Thought we could overcome them, you know, and we almost did, but then we got another delay game. So that's really out of character for us. I mean, I can't remember the last time we really had delay of game penalties. That's never been something that's been an issue for us, so that's surprising, but we've got to deal with it. You know, we got to handle it.
That was John Harbaugh talking about what happened with his offense following a very pretty game-opening drive where the Ravens went 9 plays, 70 yards for a touchdown in just under 5.5 minutes. The next 4 offensive drives, Jason, interception, punt, turnover on downs, and a fumble. And we were talking earlier prior to the calls about just the up and down of this running attack where it's feast or famine. They either break off a big chunk run or they do nothing because they're averaging yards per carry, still the best, most explosive runs, but you're 28th in success rate when you run the football. Other things, and this goes hand in hand with the rushing attack, Jason, their third down average that they face is 8 full yards, which is the 4th longest average distance in the NFL on third downs. Why? Because you're having those negative plays or those plays for 1 or 2 yards on first and second down.
Yeah, look, their ability to win on early downs now is going to be further compromised if Ronnie is out for some period of time. And I'd have to think now, I mean, not practicing, trying to get through that game, barely getting through much of that game. I have a hard time thinking that he is a go, at least for this week. It's going to require another recalibration. I mean, no Ricard, no Ronnie Stanley, likely still maybe more of a decoy than a true downfield threat, and a defense that you might need to score even against a Houston offense that doesn't present much to this point. I mean, you still might need 28 points to win this game. I don't know.
I touched on this a little bit last week during TMI, but one of the many superpowers of this offense last year was they were spectacular in the red zone. They punched it in 74.2% of the time, by far and away the best in all of football. This year, and you go back to Harbaugh settling for that field goal to make it 27-13, that was in the red zone. They're 19th in red zone offense, Jason. And I think there's a lot of different things you could point to, whether it's play calling,
they
not
got
having
a little
Derrick
cute.
Henry in there. Exactly. Derrick Henry throwing a pass going back to Monday against the Lions. And then also I think that's where you miss Patrick Ricard as well.
Yes. It's funny, like Ricard had to kind of beg and grovel, and that thing played out in a really weird way for a guy who we thought was uniquely important to what they do. And boy, is everybody finding that out, including a 31-plus-year-old running back who they were real eager to pay again. The solutions are getting trickier for Monken. I said it before. I feel like the walls are closing in a little bit. And now Houston's another team with a lot of speed on defense. And if they're not worried about remember how the Ravens road grading with Ricard and jumbo tackles,
yep,
right?
Long
they don't
Christmas.
Even have 5 offensive linemen. They think they've got 6 or 7 who can come in and do the job. I'm just not sure of. So if they don't have to worry about the heavy stuff killing them, they're going to be able to spy Lamar. They're going to be able, if Lamar plays and if Lamar is even somewhat compromised, and that makes it even easier. But there's a template there that I think certain teams can replicate. D'Amico Ryans, a former linebacker himself, I think they can replicate that. So now Bateman isn't really that active because 7-step drops are gone. Zay will get his stuff underneath. Andrews can move the chains, but you don't have to fear the explosive element. You don't have to fear getting road graded on early downs. If that's the case, you might hear Harbs throwing shade at Monk. not just after that game, but after some other ones. Because this is not... This is getting tougher and tougher to solve.
Something we saw the Chiefs do a lot was send the house yesterday, Jason. They were blitzing the hell out of Lamar Jackson and company, and Lamar was pressured on 48.1% of his dropbacks. That's the highest pressure rate he's faced in a game since week 4, 2023. And you mentioned the sack differential. Lamar was sacked 23 times all last year. Lamar's been sacked 15 times. Only Cam Ward has been sacked more, and he's got 30 more pass attempts. So Lamar's 12.6% sack rate is the worst in the NFL. And that's not all on the offensive line. And Lamar has to own some of that too.
Yeah. I mean, if you factor in Cooper Rush and just play it as a team, they're over 12%. True Media has them second worst in the NFL in sack percentage allowed. True Media also has them bottom five in the NFL in pressures allowed. Lamar's slash Rush are being pressured on over 43% of their dropbacks. And look, Lamar is holding the ball too long, and Lamar has been frustrated by some of what's happened.
These past couple games have definitely the most frustrated you've seen in a while. Slamming the helmet
after the fumble, tossing the helmet sort of in disgust.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've seen Lamar meltdown.
Henry.
We've seen Henry meltdown. We've seen Harbs kind of call out his coordinator, who's done a hell of a job after a game. And that's on the side of the ball that's supposed to be the good side.
Coming up at 4:15, we talked about the offense. Can they fix this defense? They were able to somehow fix it last year. Is it fixable this year? At 4:30, we're going to get back into Mike Elias and the season-ending press conference, but focus more on the young guys. And Mike Elias was asked about the team struggling to hit, especially after the trade deadline.
They'll be fine, Bone.
But coming up next, it's Jonas Schaefer, who covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Banner. Is this team capable of digging out of this 1-3 hole? Jonas is going to tell us next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.